This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, bonus episode.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this bonus episode, I'm going to be sharing with you how you can generate additional income in your business by creating a power hour. Now, if you're not sure what that is, then don't worry, I will go into more detail as we go. It should be really clear to you by the end of this episode. But basically, it's an online consultancy session. And although I generally refer to it as a power hour, it doesn't have to be an hour, it can be 90 minutes, it can be 2 hours, it can be as long as you need it to be. But basically, it's an online consultancy session where people pay you to pick your brain for however long it might be. Now, I'll give you the context of this bonus episode. I'm recording it in the middle of March 2020. We're right in the grip of the coronavirus pandemic. It's a pandemic now. And I have been speaking to people in the last week or so who are just desperately worried about the future of their business. I'm speaking to business owners and freelancers who are having work cancelled. So training, contracts, consultancy, workshops, and they're really wondering how they're going to move forward and basically what the future of their business is going to be. So I did another bonus episode last week, which was about taking your offline services, your in-person services, and putting them online. And I will link to that in the show notes if you haven't listened already. But with this one, I really wanted to hone in on quite a specific thing, an online offering that you can create. You can do it really quickly, and it can be a way for you to start bringing income into your business straight away and working with your ideal clients online. In the longer term, so hopefully when we've moved through this current crisis, in the longer term, this is just a great way for you to generate additional income in your business and also to deal with, you know, those kind of really annoying conversations you have with people when they say, oh, could I just grab a coffee with you and pick your brain about this? Or is there any chance we could have a quick call about this? Or can we just have a quick meeting? I just wanted to ask you a couple of things about this. And you end up feeling quite resentful because you feel like people should be paying for you for your time and experience. Well, having a power hour and having that package already put together, I'm going to talk to you about how to do it in this session. It's so valuable because when somebody asks that question, or can I just pick your brain, or can we just have a quick call or a quick coffee, you can say, yeah, would you like to book in one of my power hours? You can send them to your page. Some people won't want to book because, you know, they're looking for that advice for free. But actually, for people who are really serious about moving forward, you will find that they do actually book. And I will give you some examples of my clients who have created power hours and are successfully using power hours in their business as we go. So what I'm going to look at in this episode is how to choose a topic for your power hour, what kind of tech you'll need to deliver it, and the crucial question, how much should you charge? And I'll also look at how to promote your power hour. As ever, I'll keep it really practical. So if you're at the gym, if you're out driving, or it could be that you're actually at home in isolation, I really hope not, in self-isolation. But wherever you are, you might need to grab a pen and paper if you have one, or wherever you take your notes. Or if you're somewhere where you can't do that, you might want to come back and have a second listen. But I'm going to keep it really practical. I'm going to give you lots of information, lots of practical tactics to help you get your power hour launch. So if you do launch a power hour as a result of listening to this podcast, I would love it if you would let me know. So email me on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can find me over on Instagram @janmurrayuk. I would really love to hear how you get on. Now, before we dig into the content, there is something I do want to tell you about. So in response to the really clear concern of lots of my clients, my customers, my wider community members, I've actually put together a resource that I think you might be interested in if you're currently in that situation where you've been delivering lots of your work offline and in person, and you're realizing now that actually it would be better to have that online, or you want to try and take some of your services and put them online. So I've created something called the Emergency Response Plan. I will give you the link again at the end. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/emergency-response-plan. And what I've done is I've bundled together some of my best content, or all of my best content, on getting your services online. So I've got sessions in there on how to create a coaching and consultancy package. I've got more actually on a power hour. I've got some resources that will help you go a little bit deeper on this topic. I've also got resources on how to launch an online course. I've got resources on how to launch your own planner, a physical product. I've got a tutorial on how to launch a playbook or an ebook. And I've also got tutorials and resources on how to build your email list, because what I'm seeing at the moment, and actually one of my clients posted this in one of my Facebook groups the other day, and it was just such an important message. And she said this, she said, I'm realizing now that I have to get serious about taking my services online. So this whole coronavirus thing has made me realize that I have to get serious about getting online. I can't put it off any longer. So if you're in that situation and you need some guidance, then I think the emergency response plan could really help you. It's a bundle of my best resources that are all focused on getting you from offline to online, getting you selling your services online. Because I'm also aware that if this is new to you or new issue, you might need some support, I'm also setting up a pop-up Facebook group to go with the emergency response plan, so that if you're trying to implement some of the things in the program, if maybe you've got questions around tech or you just want to ask me something, it's going to be a pop-up group. So at the moment, I'm intending to have it open until the end of April, but obviously we'll see how the situation goes with coronavirus. But if you're feeling like, you know, that's been a big takeaway for you and you're thinking, I really do need to focus now about getting my offline services, getting them online, then do have a look at the emergency response plan. If you're on my email list or you're following me on social media, I'm sure you're going to be hearing about it over the next week. But do have a think about that, because I've got all the resources, I've got all the guidance, I've got all the support for you to help you do this quicker and accelerate the process. So with that, I think it's time to get on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create a power hour as a way of generating additional income in your business, and also as a way that you can take your offline, your in-person services, and you can deliver them online. Now, I did outline what a power hour was in the intro, but just in case you need some clarification, it's basically an online consultancy session. And I call it a power hour, but actually it doesn't strictly have to be an hour. If you think 90 minutes is better or 2 hours, you can call it a power session or whatever. The crucial thing is that you're getting on a call with somebody online and you're trying to help them solve a specific problem or a challenge that they've got, and you're doing that with them online. Now, this can be a great solution. Obviously, we're in challenging times at the moment with the coronavirus pandemic, and it can be a great way for you to deliver what you would normally do in person online. But also, actually, it's a great way to deal with those. You know, you get those people sometimes who either keep messaging you online or they keep asking you if they can just pick your brain or have a quick coffee with you, and they don't seem to want to pay you for your time. It can be a great way to actually show people that you're serious about your business and you're serious about helping them in a really constructive way, and also to deter tire kickers. So one thing that I generally do is if people are contacting me online and asking me questions, then often I have a podcast episode or a blog post that will help. Sometimes I can just pick up my phone and send them a quick voice message that will answer their question. But whenever I sense that it's something that's going to take a little bit longer and they're just trying to pick my brain and get free advice, you know, my priority has to be with my paying clients. So what I'll generally say to them is, look, that question requires me to really block out some time for you so I can really talk to you, really understand more about your business or your situation. And in order to be able to help you and to be able to give you really valuable advice, I need to give this some attention. So if you'd like me to do that, you can book in a power hour with me, and here's the link to do it. Now, some of those people, you never hear from them again because they were looking for free advice. But some people actually, you know, they are looking for your help. And when you get in touch with them and you say, look, here's a link to book in an hour with me or 90 minutes or whatever it is that you offer, some of those people will buy because they genuinely have a problem and they see that you can solve it and then you see that you're the right person to solve it. So it can be a great way to really kind of deter tire kickers and actually move forward with people who are serious about solving the problem or the challenge that they've got. And it's a great way to generate additional income in your business too. So first thing I want to cover is how to choose a topic for your power hour. So as with anything in your business, the more specific or niche you can be, the better. So I see some business owners offering like a general power hour, and like anything in your business, like if people don't really know what it is that they would do with you on that hour, they're far less likely to book. But if you're really clear about the kinds of problem that you can solve, or ideally a very specific problem that you can solve and one that you know that lots of your customers and clients have, you're going to be much more likely to sell your power hour. So for example, I've just sold a whole series of power hours on Instagram growth, and in particular, Instagram engagement and growth. And I did that because I'm planning to launch an Instagram course, getting loads and loads of questions from people about my recent Instagram growth. So I've grown my account from 6,500 back end of last year to getting towards 15,000 now. So getting loads of questions, not really able to manage them on Instagram. So I put out an offer and just said, would anyone like to book a power hour with me? I actually offered them at a discounted price because I'm developing an Instagram course at the moment. It's helpful for me actually to do these sessions and to meet people and really understand what they're struggling with and how I can shape the course. So very specific. So not a general, I can help you with your social media, or do you just want to jump on a call and talk to me about anything? I offered specific power hours on Instagram growth. And you can offer different power hours at different stages of your business or on different topics. But I would always suggest that you have quite a specific focus. You can offer a general one. And you can just, you know, put something on your website where you're saying, well, you know, if you want to book in, got a specific problem and I can help you kind of untangle it. But I think generally I find with my clients, they get less bookings than if they're specific. So to give you a few examples, so one of my membership clients, Facebook ads expert, Laura Moore, she has a power hour. And if you look on her website, she talks about focusing on increasing ad conversions. And it actually says on her sales page, are you running Facebook ads, but they're not actually working particularly well? Jump on a call with me. We'll try and figure out what's going wrong with your conversions. And I'll give you some advice to improve your conversions. So increasing ad conversions is the focus of her power hour. And for me, that feels much more compelling because I can read her sales page and go, oh, yes, that's me. And that's what people really need to do. They need to read your sales page and go, yeah, that's me. I've got that problem. If it's just a general jump on a call with me and we'll talk about a few ideas, it's much more difficult for people to go, yeah, that's me. I have that problem. So I think Laura's smart with that, with her hour. Then we've got virtual assistant Catherine Gladwin. So she offers a power hour for VA. So being specific doesn't necessarily have to be about a specific topic. Actually, it could be about a specific group of people. So Catherine offers a power hour for virtual assistants who are stuck in their business. So it could be around what they're offering. It could be around pricings, but it's very specific in terms of that she only does that with virtual assistants. So that works really well. I've got another client, John Clayton, who I've mentioned on the show before. He's an architectural technologist. I think I said he was an architect before, but he's an architectural technologist. Now, this is an interesting way of looking at power hours, actually. He was previously doing almost like kind of discovery calls with people. So people who are interested, what John specializes in is taking your current home and renovating it rather than building a new one, but turning your current home into your dream home. So that might involve building an extension. It might be involved making some internal changes, but he has got quite a specific niche. And I think what he was finding is that people were booking like discovery calls with him. And they were using that almost as a way to kind of like, you know, work through their ideas and process their ideas. And we had a call on my weekly office hour in my Build Your Online Audience program. And every Monday we have a group Zoom call where we all jump on. And John brought this up as a question. I think I was maybe running a session on how to develop a power hour. And it was suggested to him, I can't remember how it came about, that he actually started to charge for these calls. So now he charges, I think he was telling me the other day, $197 for one of those calls. So it's like a kind of paid discovery call. So people actually pay him just for that one-off session to get his advice. So they're thinking about making some quite big changes or renovations to their home. They're just not really sure if what they're thinking is possible. So before they invest in an architect, before they spend all of that money getting plans drawn up, they just need to talk through their ideas with people. And John started charging with that. And I think he was telling me the other day he sold about 4 of those. So that's £800 of income for something that he didn't used to get paid for. People were previously just picking his brain. So that's really fab. Got another client, Amy Kager. She has a podcast actually, which is it's Unleash Your Niche. And she has a specific power hour for people who are struggling with their niche. And again, you know, it's just so niche, isn't it? And the thing about that as well is, it makes it much easier for people to refer you. Say, for example, somebody asks a question in a Facebook group and says, I'm really struggling to hone my niche. And I'd be like, oh, you need to talk to Amy Kager because she's got a power hour actually, specifically. Or if somebody is in a Facebook group or a friend says to me, you know, I've got this friend who's a virtual assistant, she's really struggling with her pricing, I might say, oh, I'll put her in touch with Catherine because I know Catherine does a power hour and that might be a great way to help solve that problem. If you have a product-based business, then you can still create a power hour. There's two ways that you can think about it. So you can either do something that relates to the problem that your product solves. So for example, if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that I have a social media diary and planner that I bring out every year. I have a physical product. I have a number of physical products actually, but that's my kind of main one. Now, that product solves a problem and it solves two key problems. So the first problem it solves is people who are struggling to think of content ideas. The second one is people who are struggling with content planning, because it's not really just a diary. It's a sort of content planning toolkit that helps you kind of create your annual, your quarterly, your weekly, and your daily plans. And it's kind of structure that you can follow and a process that you can follow. So I could theoretically, I don't do this, but I could theoretically sell power hours to people who've bought my diary and say, look, you've bought the diary, but you know, you've still got some questions around it. There's maybe a tiny bit that you're stuck on. I could sell hour-long power hours for people who maybe used my diary, but wanted to get my feedback and guidance about their plan and, you know, get my input on their plan and any tweaks that they might need to make. So that's one way that I could run a power hour around my product. The other way that I could do it is that I could open content planning power hours to anybody as the creator of the social media diary and planner and someone who's created lots of content around content planning and content creation. And then I could upsell the diary at the end. And that's actually a really important point about your power hour, actually. To make it as profitable as possible, it's really good to think about how that power hour relates to another product or service that you've got, almost like a funnel. So when I'm creating power hours, and I do have a general one that people can book into. So sometimes people do just want to kind of thrash out an idea with me, whatever. But when I've offered quite specific ones like the Instagram one, which I think is a better way of doing it, what I think about is what's going to be the next step. So for those people who do the power hour with me, it may well be that when my course comes out, the natural next step for them is to take the course. Now, in an ideal world, obviously, I haven't created the course yet, haven't launched the course yet, then I would already have that ready. But I would really think about creating a power hour. So say, for example, you're a Facebook ads expert and you're doing that session with somebody on how to increase their conversions. You know, the conversation that you want to be having after that session is, you know, is there anything else that I can help you with? And if you feel that there is a need or, you know, as part of my process for the power hour, I always build in follow-up emails and check-in emails. So it might well be, you know, in 7 days or 14 days, I'll check in with that person, see how they're doing. And it may well be that it's appropriate for me to recommend them to join one of my programs or to come to one of my events or to get involved or work with me in some kind of other way. But I think it's really important to make your power hours as profitable as possible so that you're thinking about how they might lead to a paid product or service. And John's is a really good example of that, because that hour that he spends with people just talking through their ideas and seeing what's possible, then, you know, if they like John and they find that a really helpful call, you know, they're far much more likely to hire John to help with their project. So a way that I often see power hours actually is like a paid discovery call. And I used to find actually when I specialized in press and PR, I used to find that sometimes people would come up to me at events, for example, and they'd say, I'd really like to hire you to as a consultant to help me with my press or PR. And the thing about press and PR, you know, it takes quite a lot of commitment. So people think it's kind of easy, but actually there's a lot of work to be done in terms of researching which publications and programs you want to be in, pitching and, like, you know, responding to all of those pitches. And it can take quite a long time. And it's not actually right for everybody. I think sometimes people, they like the idea of it, but they don't actually have the time or the capacity to put in the work that's needed. So what I would often do if I met somebody and I thought, you know what, I'm not sure if this is right for them, I'd say, well, look, book in a power hour first. We'll do the power hour, deliver value. So I would, you know, give them a really good session. I'd give them some action points to take away and some things that they could implement straight away. And then from there, I may well then recommend to them that they did more with me, or I may well decide to direct them to something else. So actually, it can also be a way of you sorting the wheat from the chaff and actually identifying who you want to work with and who you don't. So you can see it as a, you know, kind of paid discovery call. And I've done quite a few one-off sessions where somebody's come back to me later on and they've joined a program or they've come to an event or I've worked with them in a coaching capacity. So it's really important that you don't just see it as a one-off. You try and think about what would be the next logical next step for that person if they do want to, you know, that power hour might be all they need to solve their problem. But actually, if they do need more, do you understand what the next step is? And have you got the mechanisms in place in order to kind of offer that to them? And the way I would recommend that you do it is you think about your whole sequence. I'll talk about this in just a sec, but you think about the whole process somebody would go through from booking a power hour with you to having completed it and you sending them a follow-up email. And you build into that whole process the follow-ups. So, you know, maybe you send an email or you give them a call 7 days after, 14 days after, and you obviously you pre-arrange that with them and you check that that's okay that you do that. But having that follow-up conversation can be what leads to further work. So don't think about this as a one-off. Think about this as a way to possibly actually develop a client that ends up in the nicest possible way spending lots more money with you. It's a way to think about it. Okay, so how to actually deliver your power hour? So you can use the video conferencing software like Zoom, which allows you to share your screen. Your participants can share their screen with you as well. You can also share documents and you can chat live with them. You can do a power hour with more than one person. I think it's worth, before you put out a power hour, you put an offer together about for one, is just to think about the parameters around that. Because do you want a company, like a corporate organization, for example, booking a power hour with you and then having six people on the call? So actually think that through before you put your offer together. Like, it might be, I generally only do it one-to-one. And if somebody says that they want to bring their whole team onto the call, I say, well, no, actually, that's consultancy. And we'll need to look at the pricing on that, because running a call with six people on it is not the same as doing a one-to-one with somebody. So have a think about that and think about some of those scenarios before you actually put your offer out. So Zoom is great because you can send them a recording afterward, which is an added bonus if they want to go back over anything. Zoom, the free version of it, is free up until about 45 minutes, so it won't work for a power hour. I think at the moment it starts at about $11.99 a month. But, you know, if you think about that in relation to how much you could gain from even just selling, you know, a couple of power hours, I think it's well worth the investment. Alternatives to Zoom: GoToMeeting, TeamViewer, JoinMe, Google Hangouts, MeetMe, BlueJeans. Just Google alternatives to Zoom or Google video conferencing and screen sharing and see what comes up for you, what suits you. But a lot of people are quite familiar with Zoom, which is why I would recommend it. If you're worried that your clients will be overwhelmed by the tech, and I think this is a really good idea, especially like on Monday, as I'm recording this, I'm doing three power hours back to back. And so I need to make sure that people don't turn up on the call not knowing how to use Zoom, not being able to get their microphone working, whatever. So it's a really good idea to make sure that you send out instructions for people on how to use Zoom, that you advise them, that you say to them, do have a practice with it if you haven't used it before, because what we don't want to do is waste 10 minutes of the session fiddling around with Zoom. And you're really clear that, you know, if they are late to the call or they can't use the tech because they haven't practiced it, that you will maybe have to move on to your next call or whatever. So all of these things, it's really worth thinking them through. And you could record a video using something like Loom, for example. That's a screen recording software. And I'll link to all of this in the show notes just to show people how to use it. It's well worth just spending a little bit of extra time doing that because it will save you problems on the call. And also, I think people really appreciate it. They can see that you've gone that extra mile. And once you've done it once, you can use it for every power hour. And this is what's great about doing all of this stuff up front. You can then automate it, or you can just, you know, adapt the resources you've created slightly and use them with every single client. So to make sure that you have a really productive power hour, these are the things that I would recommend that you do. So first of all, I'd suggest creating a dedicated page on your website for your power hour that includes information on what the session includes and how it's structured and how to book. If you don't have a website, you could do this on Facebook, or you could do it on, I mean, just create a Google Doc or just create a Word doc. But I think it's just really important that you have a clear document you can send people to, which explains what's included, how the session will be structured, what will happen before, what will happen after, and crucially, how to book. And to get people to book in, all you need to do is to create a PayPal or a Stripe link, a mechanism by which people pay you. Get people to pay you beforehand. Don't get payment afterwards. Don't accept any, oh, can I pay you by Bacs or bank transfer afterwards? Payment upfront. Otherwise, you could end up feeling sore and out of pocket. So I would recommend creating a dedicated web page if you have one, or at least a document that you can send out to people. I would also recommend using a tool like Calendly or Acuity Scheduling so that clients can book straight into your diary. If you haven't used them before, they're absolutely brilliant. That actually cuts down, you know what it's like when you get in touch with somebody to book a session with them and they're like, oh yeah, and then you go back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes you think, oh, I just can't be bothered to have that conversation. I find that with any meeting that I'm trying to set up, if I send people a link to my diary and they can just look at when I'm available and book it in, the chances of them booking that meeting in is about 50% higher. So it's really worth just spending a little bit of time doing that. If you have the know-how, or you're preferred to figure it out, or maybe you can even get a VA to do this for you, you can automate the whole thing. So you can automate somebody booking into your diary, being sent the Zoom link and being sent reminders for the call, all of which is great. That's what we do with mine, and it does make life a lot easier, but you don't have to do that. And you could literally write all of your emails out and just send them. You can send them, what's the word that I'm looking for? Manually, you can just send them out. But it's, if you've created it all up front, it does make life a lot easier. The other thing I would suggest is that you send a pre-call email, ideally on booking. So once somebody's booked a power hour with you, like pretty much by return, you send information on how to join the call. You let them know how to prepare for the session. I found I'm the kind of person that could show up on a call and I know what it is that I want to learn and what I want to get out of it. But not everybody is like that. I've really learned this over the years. And some people, they like homework. They like having tasks to do because it makes them feel like they're getting more value. It makes them feel prepared. Like sometimes people can feel a bit nervous. I've always been shocked by this, but when I've done consultancy with people, like I just think it's only me. Why would anybody be like nervous about having a call with me? But sometimes because people have heard me on the podcast or whatever, or they see me as like online, they get a bit scared. So, you know, just because I don't feel like that, and just because you don't feel like that doesn't mean that your clients won't. So just thinking about how they can feel really prepared for the session. So I found that people, if you tell them what's going to happen, if you give them some prep work, for example, if you need figures from people. So for me, it's often really important that I have like information. So if I'm doing a consultancy session, you know, email list subscribers, social media followers, audience size, that kind of thing. So if we can get people to send that information beforehand, and you could use a tool like Woofoo or SurveyMonkey to get them to do a little survey, a little questionnaire beforehand, and those tools are free up to a certain point, then they get on the call feeling fully prepared. You know, you're not going to have to stop and wait for them to look something up or whatever. You know exactly what information you might need from them in order to make the call productive. They get on the call feeling nice and prepared. And also what you're doing is you're putting the responsibility onto them, because the last thing that you want is somebody to say, well, you know, I did a call with Janet and it was rubbish. Like, actually, you know, it's not your responsibility to get results. It's their responsibility to take your advice and to implement it and get great results. But I think you can really help people feel good and prepared about the session and feel like they're having a good experience if you just kind of help them out with that side of things. I think that ultimately, it's not our responsibility how our clients do and whether they implement, but I think the things that we can do to help make sure that they implement and they understand what's going on, and you know, everybody's much happier as a result. So also in that pre-email, I would include instructions on how to join whatever tech you're using, so Zoom, your video, or your instructions, or whatever it might be, and anything else that you can think of that might be a barrier to you having a good session, them arriving on time, them being able to like participate in the session, then just make sure you've done all of that. I'd also recommend sending a follow-up email, or sorry, a couple of reminder emails, I should say. It depends, you know, what the gap is between them booking in and you actually having the session, but maybe at least one reminder email just to make sure that they turn up and they turn up on time, and then possibly two, depending on what the gap is. And the last thing I would recommend is sending a follow-up email within 24 hours of the session. Now, this can be tough. Like if you're doing lots of sessions back to back, I found this, it can be tough actually. So I would set this out right from the beginning. So in your prep email that you send out where you're telling people how they need to prepare for the session, just set it out. I will respond to you within 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever you think you can manage, with a one-page report, with the recording of what we've talked about and any action points to follow up. They're actually the three things that I send. So I send a recording of the call, which is really handy if they want to go over anything. I send a one-page follow-up report, which covers what we've talked about and the action points. And yeah, so they're the three things. So the follow-up report, the recording, and the three action points. The reason I do that, it's also partly to protect myself as well, because thankfully I've had mainly lovely consultancy sessions with people, but I have done a consultancy session with, there was one person in particular who really wasn't happy with their session. And it was because basically they, you know, I told them what they needed to do, but you know, they didn't want to do the work. But actually documenting what we talked about, so sending the recording, sending a summary of what we talked about, and giving them clear action points, including extra reading, content that they might want to have a look at that might be helpful. I feel like that's almost protecting myself as well. Like I've done my bit, I've delivered the session and the recording's there, you know, for anybody that might question that. But I've also followed up with them. I've summarized what we talked about just like I promised I would. And I've given them some action points and told them what to do next. You know, that's what I promised. I've delivered what I promised. I think that if you can do that, I would under promise and over deliver. So if you're a busy person, you know, don't promise to get it to them within the hour, you know, say it will be within 48 hours or 72 hours. But if you can get that all laid out up front, you will have less problems. And if you'd like some more guidance on how to set up that process, actually one of the resources that you'll get inside my emergency response kit is my session on how to turn your offline services into online offerings. You'll get some templates that you can use. You'll get an example of, I've actually created a document that I send out to people before a consultation session or certain types of consultation sessions, which is like an FAQ document. And it covers all the things. It outlines what's going to be covered in the session. It answers any kind of questions. It has all the instructions about the tech. So if you'd like more guidance on how to actually kind of set up this process of emails and get my swipe files, then that's all inside my emergency response kit. And that's another point, actually important point to make, is that even if you're only doing an hour, I think it's really worth like actually giving it a timetable. So say something like, you know, we'll spend the first 0 to 10 minutes doing this. We'll spend 15 to 45 minutes looking at this, and we'll spend the last 10 or 15 minutes wrapping up. If you can give people, the more that you can tell people what to expect, then the less likely they're going to be disappointed or feel like you've under-delivered. So, you know, tell them what's going to happen to them. You know, if you end up spending a little bit longer on the first bit or less or whatever, I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. But the more that you can kind of map out what's going to happen in that session and what they're going to take away, the much more likely people are going to be to book with you, but also to feel like they had a great experience, give you a great testimonial and tell other people. So the next thing you're probably wondering is how to price your power hour. So it can be really tempting just to have a look at what others in your industry are charging for similar sessions and charge the same. But actually, this is quite a dangerous thing to do. You can end up vastly undercharging or even overcharging for your services. So just remember that your pricing, and this is true for anything, should always reflect the transformation that you can create for your client, like not how long it takes you to prepare and deliver that session. So if you can share information and advice or guidance that can save somebody tons of time or money or help them generate more money because you've spent years honing that particular thing that you do, then your price should reflect that. It shouldn't just be what other people in your industry are charging. Now, just to put this into context for you, so I've generated over £1 million in sales from the copy that I've written in my business for my website, for my sales page, for my email marketing and social media. Now, the reason I'm able to create that kind of engaging content, which generates that kind of income, is because I've spent the best part of 20 years writing and editing for national newspapers. So I'm a professional writer by trade. Plus, I mean, copywriting is different. I've also invested huge amounts of time and money learning about copywriting and just writing and experimenting and testing. So that means that if you were to show me a sales page or to show me a social media post or a marketing email, I would immediately be able to see what needed to be changed and improved because I have so much experience. And I make no apologies for saying that. You know, there's other things that I would not be able to help you with. But when it comes to writing and copy, I have the experience and I've got the proof that I can get those results. So that's why I charge 500 plus VAT for a power hour. Generally, if somebody would ask me to look at their copy, that's how much I would charge. That's why I charge 500 plus VAT and not £50 plus VAT, for example, because I can look at something because of the experience that I've got, and I can tell you straight away something that it might take you months to figure out or that you might never even spot because you haven't got the experience that I've got. Now, that said, if that sounds like a lot, I haven't always charged that amount. So I started off with my first power hours, maybe charging something like £99 plus VAT or something like that. And I gradually scaled it up as I got more experience and I got more testimonials. So what I would really suggest that you do is to start first by thinking about the transformation. So for example, if you're a sales coach and you know that you can share advice that could help somebody to generate tens of thousands, then you're not going to charge 50 quid for your power hour. But the key thing is, can you demonstrate that you have got those results for somebody? If you can't, then there might be another sales coach who is charging 500 quid for an hour, but they have the proof and you don't. So you've got to be really realistic as well. So it can really help for you to spell out the return on investment for your clients. So say, for example, if you were to show me your sales page or your social media posts, and if I told you that I could help you five times your investments, if you paid me 500 quid, and I looked at your copy and I could help you make five times that much, and I had proof of that and I had testimonials, I think you probably think it was worth it. But if I was telling you that I would charge you £500 plus VAT and I didn't have any proof or testimonials, I didn't have any experience, then you're probably going to think that sounds like a lot. So remember that pricing is all relative. Like if you can spend £500 with me and I'll make you £2,500, it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? And I can prove that because I've done it for other people. If I'm just charging that amount and I don't really have any proof or any experience. So that's sometimes where I see people going wrong, actually. So I see people who are new to coaching and consulting online. They just look around, they see someone else is charging something and they charge the same, even though they don't have the same experience. So you do have to earn your stripes. And I certainly had to do that myself. So if you haven't yet delivered any power hours, it can definitely be worth offering some discounted sessions. So that will help you to gather testimonials that you can use to sell further sessions. Now, I would never recommend offering these sessions for free. So people generally don't value what they get for free. So if they haven't paid, they're more likely to show up late, to cancel, and not actually implement or value what you do. So even a modest fee, if you're just trying to gather those first testimonials, it will make sure they've got some skin in the game and they actually get results, because you need people to get results as well in order to get great testimonials from people. And the final thing I want to talk about is how to promote your power hours. You've put your offer together. You've got your web page, or you've got your Google Sheet or your Word doc. It doesn't have to be all fancy. Really doesn't. You could create a simple template in Canva or something like that, a simple leaflet or something. It doesn't have to be all fancy. If you have an email list, great. Like, email your list, tell them about your power hour, and providing you've created the right offer for the right audience, you should get bookings. If you don't get bookings, this is really important, then you have to be brave enough to go and ask people why. It might well be that there's nothing wrong with you or your services. It's just that you're not offering the right kind of thing. And when you're brave enough to go back to people and say, okay, I put this offer out, but nobody booked. Do you mind me just asking them? You don't have to say that nobody booked, but you could just ask those people who you've sent it out to, like, I noticed that you didn't take me up on this, even though it's something that I thought you were interested in. Would you mind just giving me a bit of feedback as why? And they may well say to you, well, actually, yes, I'm kind of interested in your topic, but I'm not interested in that bit. I'd actually be much more interested in you helping me with that. So be brave. If you put an offer out, and this might happen to you, you know, this is how we learn, and nobody takes you up on it, be brave. Go out and ask people why they didn't buy, because you might hit gold. You probably will hit gold if that's the case, because people will say, well, you know, the thing is, actually, Janet, I'm not that interested in that. I'm actually much more interested in this. And if somebody says, I'm not interested, well, what are you interested in? Like, what are you finding really challenging? So be brave, have those conversations. When I'm talking to clients of mine who are struggling with launches, the question I ask over and over again is, so what happened when you went back to people and you asked them why they didn't buy, and they go, oh, well, I haven't done it yet. It's only when you're brave enough to ask people why they didn't buy that you generally get to understand what they do want to buy. Okay, and if you don't have an email list, or you only have a very small list, then you're going to need to use proactive outreach. So this literally means making a list of people that you know who might be interested in your offer. So generally that will be, it could be current clients, it could be previous clients, it could be people who've made inquiries with you before but maybe haven't booked. Or it might mean asking for recommendations or referrals from friends. And again, this might feel a little bit uncomfortable. It might feel a bit out of your comfort zone, but this is a lot easier. This is a lot easier than trying to just post on social media and hope that somebody will see it, because that's generally not how you sell these kind of things. That people like to buy from people that they know, like, and trust. That's going to be a much quicker way for you to fill these. But if you're not brave enough to do that, if you're just kind of posting on social media about your power hour and just kind of hoping that somebody might like it, you know, there's no harm at all. And I'd always would recommend that you reinforce whatever you're doing with social media posting. But you generally will make your sales for things like power hours, like one-to-one. It will be via your email list and personal outreach. So reach out to people by email. Actually, ideally, if you can, text, phone call, voicemail, or much more effective. Just let people know what you're doing. I've put together this power hour. I thought you might be interested because, and generally it might be because they've reached out to you before and with an inquiry, or because you've worked with them before, or because somebody's told you that they're interested in getting help with that particular thing. You know, people are generally really fine about that. If you need some help with the proactive outreach, in my Build Your Online Audience program, the very first module, three audiences, is about exactly that. It's about reaching out to people. It's about getting referrals. It's about getting clients when you don't have any leads. I've got templates that you can use for emails and messages. You can literally kind of swipe them and adapt them for your own audience. I've got one client, Blair Palmer, and she used the templates and she generated 42,000 in sales just by using those resources. So if you don't have an audience, you're going to have to work a little bit harder. But generally, you know, people already know, like, and trust you. If there's already a bit of a relationship there, they're much more likely to buy anyway. So I hope you found this useful. And I would love to know how you get on with creating and launching your own power hour. As I say, email me on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. Social media is normally easier at Jan Murray UK. I don't manage my own inbox anymore to keep me sane. So Instagram's probably the best place to find me. And just a reminder that if you would like my help to get you online, to get your in-person, your offline services online, then do come and join me in janetmurray.co.uk, the emergency response kit. So janetmurray.co.uk, emergency response kit. That's a bundle of resources I've put together to help to get you online quick. And also there's going to be a Facebook group to support anybody who needs it.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.